Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of Coffee with a Techie Doctor. Coffee with a Techie Doctor is a series of informal appointments where we will talk about technology in the life science industry. Today, I will be your host. My name is Pedro Lledó. I am a physician, the doctor in this series, an expert of clinical technology. At each of the coffee appointments, I invite special guests, key opinion leaders of life science industry, and we'll ask them to share their insights into the world of technology. Today, I have the pleasure to have two fantastic guests, Michael Brown Bogos, Senior Director of Safety Strategy of Oracle and a pharmacovigilance expert and a strategist. And also Silvia Gavanti, Managing Director of Arrhythmus, Project Manager and Business Analyst within 15-year track record in the industry and particular expertise in pharmacovigilance technology. Before starting with today's topic, could you please say a few words about yourself, Michael and Silvia?
Sure. And first of all, thanks, Pedro, for inviting me to this podcast. I think it's very interesting to look at both sides of the industry at the same time, the medical side and the technical side. I've been doing pharmacovigilance for 27 years now. I started off in the industry, so in Fujisawa, which became Astellas. I was there for 13 years in the pharmacovigilance department, then 2 years at RELSYS, and now 12 years at Oracle.
Thank you. Silvia, please.
Good morning, Pedro, and thank you for inviting me, and good morning also to Michael, and thank you for your presentation. As you told, now I'm the managing director of Arrhythmus, but I started my career in 2003 in the CRO environment as application expert, especially in pharmacovigilance and safety environment. In 2010, I joined Arrhythmus, and in these last 11 years, I work as a project manager and business analyst. And after an experience as a safety, as a service delivery manager, I reached my current role of managing director. Thank you, Pedro.
Thank you, Michael and Silvia. So for today's episode, the topic is pharmacovigilance in cloud. Are we ready or not? So I will ask both of you, what are the main advantages now to moving to the cloud?
So maybe I'll start off. I think the main advantage is a lower total cost of ownership. That's really why customers are moving to the cloud. They're trying to reduce costs, gain efficiencies. Usually there's a lot of pressure on the department because of the increasing number of cases coming in every year. And so they're looking of ways to increase productivity and efficiency. Importantly, that has to be done without sacrificing quality or security or data privacy. So the right cloud can be a solution to help reduce costs. Another issue, I think, is that the regulations are constantly changing all over the world, and they have different timelines of change. So this means more upgrades to your safety system in order to stay compliant with all those regulations. And the cloud is one way to make upgrades less costly, faster, less complex. So to support upgrades, more frequent upgrades to deal with more frequent regulatory changes, I think that's the second reason. Third reason is to reduce complexity especially for the IT team, so that they can focus on things of higher value than, making sure that the different components are compatible with each other, and patching tech stack components, scaling up servers and memory and things like that. It allows IT to focus on more important things. And I think the final reason is to extend capabilities. There are things like AI, which are available in the cloud. And so some companies, when they move to the cloud, they like to extend those capabilities that are enabled by the cloud.
Okay, thank you. I see that there are different type of clouds available. What are the main type of clouds available for pharmacovigilance industry?
Yeah, that's true. So principally, there are three types of cloud models, IaaS, PaaS, and SaaS. So IaaS is infrastructure as a service. That's really what we would describe as sort of pure hosting. You're taking the software, putting it in the cloud, and the infrastructure is there. So like the physical servers and so on, and the data center. And then as you go progressively, so the next stage would be PaaS. PaaS is providing a platform on top of that infrastructure that is managed by the cloud vendor. So that, you know, includes things like the operating systems and the middleware. And then the final one is SaaS, that's software as a service. So not only is the cloud vendor managing the infrastructure and the platform, but also the software itself. So that means, you know, deploying the software, managing it, patching it, upgrading it, it's doing all that for the customer. So SaaS is sort of the most services around the safety software, and IaaS is the least services around the safety software.
I would like to add something related to the aspects of privacy and security, because the changing landscape of privacy and security regulation and requirements should push companies to reflect on their capacity to adapt and maintain competitive costs and their own infrastructure autonomously. The cloud, I think, could represent the way to have an environment where, from the technical point of view, the best technology allows to grant privacy and security. Despite the companies that have not yet adopted the cloud, considers the lack of security and the adherence to privacy regulation the biggest barriers to the adoption of the cloud technology itself. As explained by Michael, there are several forms of cloud computing. Then, when an organization considers moving to cloud technology, it should be conscious that each vendor offers different characteristics, varying degrees of flexibility, different collaborative opportunities, and of course, different risks, also related to privacy and security. It has to be considered that there is no single answer to the regulatory privacy and security challenges. As a consequence, it's fundamental to understand each form and each deployment model and the characteristics in order to assess the risk, especially those related to the security and privacy landscape. Companies should consider the capabilities of the provider to comply with various security constraints, privacy laws, and understand how the cloud provider will protect their data. For this reason, talking about the several forms of cloud computing, I think that the base is a risk-based approach in order to choose the right technology, but the right technology for the company.
Thank you both. So now that we know that there are several types of clouds for the pharma industry, what are the main factors that can help the company to understand whether they are ready or not to be moving to the cloud?
Yeah, so that's a good question. What we have seen is that companies that are changing to a new safety system or getting their first safety system will typically go to the cloud right away. I would say over 90% of new customers just go to the cloud right away because it's a simple calculation for them. Where it gets a little bit more complex is customers that have started out on premise with a system, and you know, cloud is fairly new, let's say, in the last 5 years or so for safety. So a lot of customers have started out with a safety system on premise, and then they have to consider whether it makes sense for them to take that safety system that they have and move it to the cloud or not. And that's a little bit more of a complex calculation than when you're just starting out with a new safety system. And then, you know, it's going to be mainly a calculation of the total cost of ownership. That has to be, you know, looked in carefully by the company. It's typical to weigh just your, you know, typically customers that are on premise are paying some kind of annual maintenance fee for their software, and to compare that against the cloud subscription costs. That's kind of the first thing that comes to mind. But of course, there are a lot of hidden costs for on-premise that go beyond just the annual maintenance fee for the software. There is the cost of, you know, maintaining all the hardware and patching the infrastructure and the middleware and the platform, and of course the safety software itself. And all of those sort of hidden costs have to be calculated in. And that's the calculation that, that companies on-premise are doing. They will typically only move to the cloud if it makes sense from a financial point of view. So you add up all of the costs on-premise, including the hidden costs, weigh that against the cloud costs, and look over a certain period of time, typically over 5 years, because of course, the first year of moving to the cloud will be more expensive than the other years because you have a project to do that. And then when you weigh all those factors, then you will see, you know, if it makes sense to move to the cloud or not.
Based on my experience, I would like to add some few words about the situation of small and medium companies. Because in my experience, but I think that is mainly a reason of culture and not of capabilities, for this type of industry, one of the main concerns is represented by the fear of losing governance or control over data moving to the cloud due to the small dimension of the teams and sometimes the lack of support of business on business application provided by IT departments. In the small medium companies, IT departments are mainly focused on infrastructure more than on business applications. For this reason, the choice should be done in this industry at the light of a more general IT strategy, in which the IT department should be ready to change its role from system manager to data custodian and controllers. I think that IT devs should liaise with the business department, with the pharmacovigilance, to grant regular reviews of data, risk, and strategy. And only with this change of mind, I think that this industry could be considered ready for change from on-premises or hosting approach to the cloud one.
Good point, Sonia.
Thank you, Silvia. So you were talking about the company size. So how important is the company size influencing the decision to go or not to the cloud?
Yeah, so typically the larger the company, the more careful calculations they will have to make. Large companies often have a lot of customizations around the safety system and a lot of integrations to other systems. So that may make the picture a little bit more complex. So the company will have to decide, you know, large companies will have to decide, do I want to keep my customizations in place when I move to the cloud? And does the cloud allow me to keep my customizations in place and my integrations with other systems? Or do I want to use the move to the cloud as an opportunity to standardize my system more, you know, maybe get rid of some of the customizations? So those are all considerations that a large company has to do more than a small company, even though small companies may have integrations with other systems as well, and they should make sure that the cloud allows those integrations to go forward when the system is in the cloud. And then with the large companies are more likely to have customizations, and then they will kind of have to decide, do they want to do a lift and shift, which means let's take the safety system the way it is today with all of its customizations, move it to the cloud the way it is, and then in the future we can look at reducing those customizations, because of course customizations usually mean more costs and more complex upgrades. Or does the company want to, as they move to the cloud, reduce the number of those customizations at the same time as they move to the cloud?
Thank you, Michael. So in addition to the company size, can the number of cases influence the decision to go to the cloud or not? How this will help us to understand if we could go or not?
It shouldn't, right? The cloud should be scalable. That's an important factor when you look at a cloud, because, you know, in today's pharma business, there's very often, you know, you can bring a new product on the market that will bring a lot of new adverse events. There's lots of acquisitions in the pharma industry. So you may acquire a new company, and that will bring in a lot of new adverse events into your system at once. So the cloud should be scalable so that the number of cases should not actually make a difference. In other words, the system should scale as your business grows without you having to, you know, migrate to a new system or something like that. The cloud vendor should take care of that. Should take care of the technical details of that scalability in the background, so that you as a business can scale up without having to worry about the technical details of that scaling up.
Michael, I would like to add something returning to a point you mentioned at the beginning of the conversation. That is that we cannot talk about the decision to go to the cloud or software as a service without considering the accounting and financial impacts. Because depending on the cloud model chosen, if software as a service, infrastructure as a service on private or public cloud, the effects are totally different. Companies should, first of all, choose the right model, not only based on the number of cases, as you told, because the model is usually scalable, but based on their strategic plan, the IT strategic plan. Cloud applications are often not perceived as an investment, but as an operational expenditure, a cost for the business area that uses the application. This is another reason, in my opinion, for which hosted and on-premises applications are sometimes preferred to the cloud, since seen as an investment and not a pure cost like the cloud. Nevertheless, also in SaaS or cloud, the company choice of approach to perpetual licenses or annual review and the recognition of intangible assets could allow to define the preferred financial strategy. This means that cloud not means, okay, OPEX and on-premise CAPEX, but you have to work with the CFO and procurement negotiating with the vendor the correct model, the correct approach, in order to make sustainable your cloud strategy together with your financial strategy.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, in effect, you will be building a business case for your management, right? Why it makes sense to move to the cloud, and you should definitely pull in your, you know, your vendors, your partners, your IS that you're using to help you build that business case, and why it makes sense to move to the cloud. And as you mentioned, today, these kinds of decisions often go past just the safety department, right? In the past, departments really made decisions by themselves to pick their own software But in today's world, with more and more integrations, you know, we don't want to live in silos anymore. You know, often the, for instance, the safety department and the clinical research department work hand in hand, right? So you may want to look at what is the clinical research department doing as far as cloud, and make sure that that sort of allows an integration with your safety system and not just make decisions in a silo. And as you say, of course, you should be aligned to your company's cloud strategy overall. Yeah,
thank you. You mentioned that companies may be afraid of moving things or losing the customization they built, or losing some of the application around some of the databases. So this should go into the cloud decision be part of a bigger strategy?
Yes, as already say by Michael, but also by me, the choice to move to a cloud application cannot be approached as a decision limited to a department. Operational strategies in these days should be always considered together with the other company strategies. I think that the main difference in pharmaceutical environment is that now the role of CIOs of IT is changing. In the past, I think that the operational department drives the choice. Now, in order to be ready for, generally speaking, with the digital transformation, CIOs should drive the change in order to satisfy all the requirements, starting from operational ones, of course, but also thinking to financial and procurement strategies.
Okay. So what do we have to take into account when migrating our safety database to the cloud? What differences can we find compared to other migrations of e-clinical systems?
Right, so you will want to look at what are the services provided by the cloud vendor, and how are you going to transition, what you do today on premise to those services. So you should look at, what do those services include as far as the initial implementation of the system in the cloud, maintaining the system, patching the system, what happens during upgrades. You are also going to want to look at things like, what about your dictionaries, right? Typically, companies are upgrading their Medra dictionary and WHO drug dictionary twice a year. So how does that happen in the cloud? You're going to want to find out about the support model in the cloud. So these are all things you will have to look at and plan for, and should be taken into account in your implementation project, where you really go through a life cycle during that implementation project of starting out looking at your requirements, and then how those requirements are going to be implemented. Another very important area is reporting. How are you doing reporting now on premise? How will you do reporting and dashboards and analytics in the cloud? And then, of course, data migration is, are you moving the same system to the cloud, or are you moving to a new system in the cloud? If it's a new system, then there will be a data migration included. If it's the same system, then there will typically be an upgrade associated with the move to the cloud, because very often companies do not have the very latest version of the software on premise. So moving to the cloud, they will often upgrade to the latest version. So those are some of the aspects that you'll want to look at.
I would like to introduce a couple of elements, I think. First of all, understanding before starting migrating to the cloud, understanding also what the new role of the safety personnel in the future and how the cloud-based technologies can foster this growth. Pharmacovigilant departments are today mainly involved in data entry activities, but in the future, thanks to the robotic process automation, artificial intelligence, routine and repetitive tasks will be reduced. For this reason, defining your strategy of migration, you have to consider also what type of automation you need now, and includes in your project also the training and the change of this role, the PDP of your resources, in order to be ready also in terms of resources at the end of your migration process, and not only in terms of technologies. And the second element is that the operation are not out of this process. They are key elements for successful data migration, because especially when you move from another technology to the cloud one, you have to face the data migration itself. An important element is therefore the data quality, and incorrect data results in painful data migration. Therefore, the data migration exercise should start before the technical one. The contribution of pharmacovigilant resources is important as the contribution of technical personnel or consultants, and especially is one of the points that is difficult to be delegated to the external persons, because the companies knows its data. For this reason, I think that a valuable migration project is the result of the capacity not only of the technical consultants of the provider, but is the result of joint forces between companies, technical, and consultants.
That's a good point. You want to look at the experience of the company. Have they done these kinds of data migrations in the past? And one other thing that I'm just reminded of, you were talking before, Sylvia, about the difference between sort of a system IT and a business IT. Another thing you'll want to look at is configuring the system, right? Because there's not only the initial configuration of the system, but there is ongoing configuration in production, such as adding new products, adding new studies, things like that. And you'll want to look at when you move to the cloud, will that still be possible for you to do, ideally over the UI of the application, or will you have to move to some other way of doing things where you have to tell the cloud vendor, please change the configuration, please add a new product or something like that. That of course would be a lot less convenient than doing it over the UI. So that's another thing you'll want to look at. How will I configure the system in production going forward? Can I still do it myself?
Thank you, Michael. Remember me that at the end, these type of projects are not vertical. It's not an IT matter. At the end, it's a transversal process that should involve the right professionals, from the technical ones to the business ones to the pharmacovigilance ones. Otherwise, probably the choice to move into the cloud, if it's only something sexy, because all moves to the cloud now is probably unsatisfying for the company.
You were talking about new functionalities. So what are the new functionalities that once we decided to go to the cloud, which functionalities that are only available in the cloud for us?
So what we have seen is, as I mentioned before, often when companies move to the cloud, they do an upgrade of the software at the same time. Sometimes they want to add on signal detection capabilities that are, maybe easier to integrate in the cloud. And they haven't needed it until now, but as their number of the volume of their cases is growing, they may want to introduce a solution for signal detection or for analytics. They may have in the past, just needed expedited reports and periodic reports, but going forward, they want more of an analytics platform that might be available in the cloud. What we're now seeing today is that the new AI capabilities are really enabled by the cloud. The cloud has high capacity computing, GPUs, that kind of thing, very strong computing power in the cloud. And that makes AI available in the cloud. So that is one thing that we're now starting to see companies take into their calculation as they move to the cloud. Can I take advantage of AI capabilities that are available on the cloud?
So thank you, Michael and Sylvia. I would say that we may wrap up here. Thank you very much for joining us today and discussing the readiness of the industry for pharmacovigilance in the cloud. And thank you everyone for tuning in and joining us for a cup of coffee with the Turkey Doctor.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pedro. Enjoy
Hope
your
to
coffee.
See you in the third episode. Bye-bye.
Bye.